Now let's go to Matthew 3. No, John 3. John 3. That wasn't a test. Okay. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. Then I'm going to read John 13, verses 34 and 35. And then we're just going to just zip through a couple of quick things just to get us to where we want to go tonight. Would you read along with me John 3, verses 16 and 17? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In John 13, verses 34, 35, in the Amplified Bible reads, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this, shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. See, this isn't a one and done. We have to continually keep on showing love among ourselves, regardless of what the other individual did, does, or you think they're going to do. We have to keep on showing love among ourselves if we're going to be a reflection of who our Father really is. Amen? Amen. I shared with you that the Holy Ghost said that too many of us were worrying about everything. About everything. In Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, no more than three scriptures, and just worry. And usually we worry based on what someone else has said or something else presented itself, and we let that just push out what God has already said or what God has already done. Sometimes we will allow worry to push out the finished work, and we're wondering why. You know, we're worrying. All right, what am I going to do? You know, I was laid up. God manifests something. Then we start worrying if we're going to keep it. You know, so how am I going to get there? You know, what's going to happen? Or what happens if they decide to downsize? I'm going to be the first one to go. Because, you know, I'm the last one in. I'm going to be the first one to go. Now, he just placed you there. And you already got yourself leaving. We need to think about those things. We just start worrying. And sometimes we think we're supposed to worry. The system has our children, you know, so wrapped up because they have to worry, am I going to get into the college of my choice? Well, the reason you're worrying about that is because you're going after the college of your choice rather than finding out where Father wants you to go and apply there, because then you'll find out that they have no choice. Because that's where God said to send you. That's where you went. So when your application comes, even if they don't know why they're accepting it, you'll be accepted. Why? Because Father sent you there. That's where he wants you. So we need to stop worrying. Parents, stop worrying about how you're going to pay for it. Your Father said, he shall supply all your need. Period. So stop worrying. You're looking, boy, they're getting to that age now and they're going to have to go off to school. And you start counting. One. So I'm looking. Oh, 150. Okay. And you start thinking, oh, Lord, what am I going to tell them? I always tell them that God's going to provide, but I don't have the money. You didn't tell them that you were going to provide. Didn't you? You said God's going to provide. So the two of you get in agreement and you thank God for his provisions. But we worry about those things and we miss God. We miss him. We'll go and we'll get a second job or a third job. And they say, okay, that's God's blessed me with four jobs to come and do this. And you still don't have enough. Okay? We have to understand that all we're doing is tormenting ourselves. It's not the devil, it's us. And one of the things you're going to keep hearing me say, the devil cannot make us do anything. What verse am I referencing? Luke 10:19. God said, I give you power over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. All of it. And nothing shall by any means harm you. And you know what it says in Amplified? I've given you physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. So since you have all of that power, how can he make you do anything? No, worry is a choice that we make. We choose to take a care, and then we start to worry, and we torment ourselves, and by definition, our peace of mind gets disturbed. And when your peace of mind gets disturbed, guess what type of choices we make? Disturbing ones. Okay. Just because we just allowed ourselves to start worrying. In Matthew 6:34, we shared with you, I'm not going to read all of it. Just going to skim through verse 24 to 34. In the Phillips translation, Jesus said, that's why I say to you, don't worry about living, wondering what you're going to eat or drink. He tells further on, he says, don't worry about clothes. And then he says, don't worry and keep on saying. That's a hidden danger of worrying, folks. We'll start to worry so much, we'll start coming out of our mouths exactly what it is we're worried about. Lord, I don't know something's going to happen here. You know, the doctor said, we will worry. We're going to take a test and the doctor will tell us to come in. We'll start worrying. What did he find? You know, what's going to happen? Our attitude needs to be, who cares what they saw? I told you the time that I was in the emergency room and they took a CAT scan of my lungs and they came back and they said, oh, you're fine, you're going home. Then the doctor came in and sat down and just looked at me. He did. Came, sat down and just looked. And I'm like, why are you back in here? And I said, and why are you sitting down? Like, you know, and he looks down, he's looking at me and I'm like, what? He said, you have to stay. Like, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Why? You have a pulmonary embolism. I'm like, no, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. Yes, you do. He said, you know, and we're going on. He said, I looked at it and I had two technicians read it. It's here. You have to stay. I'm like, I'm not staying. He said, look, Reverend, I know you think that your faith will, well, yeah, maybe your faith will. That's just the way he said it, because when he was talking, I just looked at him. But Father told me what to do. I did it the following morning. The same film that showed something showed nothing. But I refuse, and I'm not going to stand here and tell you worry didn't try and come. I mean, a whole family of worries came, tried to come. And they seen the little faces right there. Can we come in? Can we? I'm like, no. I'm not going to worry about this. And Deacon Phyllis was there, and she's like, can I just calm down? I said, no, I'm calm. I'm fine. I ain't gonna worry about it. No. I'll stay. But I'm gonna do what Father said to do. That's all. So when stuff comes, we don't have to worry about anything. That's what he said, don't worry. But I'm going to read this passage of it though. In the Phillips translation, I'm going to read from verse 31 because of what it says. It says, so don't worry and keep saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? That is what pagans are always looking for. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them, that you need them all. Set your heart on the kingdom and his goodness, and all these things will come to you as a matter of course. You know what that means? In your normal course of walking out your Christian life, all of these things will just show up. And guess what you'll have to do to get them? Nothing. Well, that's not entirely true. You have to keep walking out your Christian walk. Because remember, it said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So if we're seeking ye second, we're not going to see those things. We have to seek him first. And just as, I mean, it's like, I've shared this with Dolores, I believe, a couple of times. I was watching a Star Trek episode, and I used to like the conversations between, you know, Captain Kirk and the other ones, and looking at his, listening to his logic, so to speak, even though Spock was a logical one. And McCoy asked him a question, and he answered by saying, why is the sperm whale, which is the largest mammal known to man, have a brain about this big? And I looked and I said, I don't know, Jim, why? He said, because that's the way it is. Like, why'd you tell me that, Pastor? Why will all those things come to you as a matter of course as you seek first the kingdom and its righteousness? Because that's the way it is. You seek first the kingdom, that has to. It has to happen, right, Mr. O'Reilly? It has to happen. We talked about Philippians 4:19, where God said, he shall supply. Shall means you don't have it yet, but you will. So we don't have to worry because we don't see it with our eyes. We also learned something very important. We learned that when we start to worry, in addition to all the physical things it can do to us, it will prevent us from fulfilling what God has called us to do. And we referenced Mark 4:19, talking about the parable of the sower. And, it says when you hear the news and you're overwhelmed with worries, it strangles the word and nothing comes of it. Nothing. So it's, to you, it's like that word was never spoken to you. So we never want to get to the point where we're worrying. See, God, it's not that God doesn't want us to worry too much. He doesn't want us to worry at all. So even a little bit of worry about anything is too much. Regardless of what it is. No, I was just thinking about a little bit. No, you were worrying about it a little bit. And a little bit of worry will do you just as much harm as a lot of worry. Because it's not a good and perfect gift. We looked a little bit at cares, and we found that that's a state of mind in which you're troubled. and worry leads to having cares. Or cares leads to, the two of them go together. That's why I am learning how to adopt an attitude where I don't have any concerns. Because I haven't quite mastered having a concern and not letting it turn into a worry. So I need to get rid of the concerns. So something comes up and I look at it and I say, yeah, that doesn't look too good. Go ahead, Dad. You take care of it. And I just sit back and just watch Father do what he does. But more importantly, and I didn't review this with you on Sunday, but I did tell you last Wednesday, when I looked up the word worry, I'm sorry, cares, in the concordance, I found out that the root word meant to divide, to separate. And I had never thought of that before, and it made me think. And as I thought, I realized, yes, when I worry, I separate myself from everything that God said. I may separate myself from a particular individual because I'm worried about it and they're not. So I think they don't get it. Okay. So let me just leave them alone. Can you imagine that? Getting upset because they won't take on the same worry that I have. And when we also talked about when you're caught up in a worry and someone, your brother or sister in Christ, comes to try and jolt you out of it, you catch an attitude. I know how to hear from God. Okay, may I have my head back? that's it. And you try and share it. I know what the word says. I know. And then when nothing else fails, they hit you, with that elephant gunshot. And say, well, God is still working with me in that area. And you say, oh, okay, let me just leave you alone. No, we have to, whether we're worrying or not, we have to allow ourselves to be ministered to by what the Word says and to listen to folks that are trying to tell us or remind us of who we are so we get out of it. And sometimes you need to be jolted. Well, sometimes I need to be jolted out of it. I know you guys will hear and just casually leave. I need to be jolted sometimes. Okay. We looked in Philippians where we were instructed by Paul not to worry, not to fret, but instead pray. And not pray any of those, you know, pitiful begging prayers. Pray confidently, boldly, with thanksgiving. You let your requests be made known to God. So, well, then what do? Nothing. You go on like it's already done. Because God said, I will supply. And you let His peace do it. Then we realize we didn't have to worry because we're not in any fights. That the battle is the Lord's. And since the battle is the Lord's, we need to let Him fight all of the battles. We found out that it's faith and not worrying that will bring us everything that we need. And then we learned a very important key in Acts 5:39. Would you turn that, please? Turn there, please. Because this is where we unhooked. And this is where Gamaliel was talking to the other leaders and imploring them, leave the apostles alone. Be very, very mindful what you do with them. You know, because he said in Acts 5, verse 39, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight with God. And I asked you a question, I said, what is it? Well, they were doing the things that Jesus had instructed them to do. And we saw that as a very important key. When we're doing the things that we are supposed to do, nothing will be able to overthrow it. And anyone that comes up against us will find themselves fighting against God, not us. So we have to make sure that we are where we are supposed to be and we are doing everything that we're supposed to do based on what God has spoken to us individually. Then we can't be stopped. And whatever that thing is, whatever the opposition is, will realize this is a God thing and we need to leave it alone. And the apostles, even when they were beaten, left and immediately went and did what they were instructed not to do by the leaders during those times. They went right back and started teaching in the name of Jesus. Did not care. Because they weren't ashamed that they had been beaten. As far as they were concerned, badges were pinned on them. And they went out and when you're not scared, that's what you do. When you're not worrying about retaliation, that's what you'll do. You'll be obedient to what God said. But there's something else. There's another piece. How many of you, you know, have ever been on a scary ride in an amusement park? Okay. I mean, I was thinking about that this afternoon. I said, that's kind of like an oxymoron. I mean, it's... And the reason I say that is, I'm not calling anybody a moron, I'm talking about the phrase. Because you're in, it's an amusement park. Okay. You go there to be amused by scaring yourself, half getting on a ride and coming off with less hair than I have. Okay. And you're like, oh, this was fun. But we'll get scared, or we'll look at something as being scary, and Yildur will say, why don't you come with me? Yeah. You know, because you have to have someone else with you. You can't encounter something scary by yourself. I don't know why, but to me, if I'm going to go to an amusement park, I'm going to go somewhere where I'm going to have a good time, and I'm sorry, my heart beating 150 beats a minute and I'm not exercising, it's not fun. But see, we don't even care if we're physically alone. As long as we don't feel like we're alone, we're okay. I would send, one of my grandsons down. I'd ask him to, take the recycling down and put it in the bin in the garage. He came and said, can someone come with me? I'm like, why? The monsters in there. Say, ain't no monsters in Grandpa's house. No. None. Then I'm coming in the garage with them, and they go, whoa, and I just looked and I said, you weren't afraid? I said, it's my house. I know it's in my, there's anything in my house scary. I said, you better be glad I'm like that, because if I thought it was something scary, I'd have to break it in half. But they want to take someone with them because they're afraid of whatever reason. And we do the same thing. We worry. We become afraid. We experience fear because we think we're by ourselves. Something's going on and I'm out here all alone, God. I don't know what to do. Well, we need to understand something. We are not alone. Ever. Ever. We are never, ever alone. Look at Hebrews 13. I want to share this in the Amplified Bible. Because you will not realize no worries for the rest of your days if you walk around afraid of everything. If you can't be by yourself, I have to have someone with me to get through and get spiritual. God said two are better than one. So if he said two are better than one, hey, how many can one put to flight? Right? When two is much more because God multiplies it. So I can't be by myself. You there? I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money. Hebrews 13, verse 5, I'm starting in the Amplified. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances. Say, I will be satisfied with my present circumstances. Okay. And with what you have. All right. You don't have to repeat the rest, sir. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? That's the attitude we want to adopt regardless of what we're walking through. I don't care if physically I'm there alone. God said he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. Well, see, first of all, he never gave me a spirit of fear anyway. Because he said so in his word in 2 Timothy. He said he gave me power. He gave me love. He gave me a sound mind. Well, a person with power doesn't worry. A person with perfect love doesn't fear. And a person with a sound mind doesn't worry. Doesn't worry. And God gave all of that to me. So I have absolutely no reason to worry about anything. But I have to start seeing it the way God said it. Because if I see it the way I said it, I'm going to worry about everything because I won't have a choice. God said, I will not in any way fail you. In any way. I will not give you up. I won't leave you. So if he won't leave me, why do I have to call him? He's there. And if he's not there, my call, I mean, where'd he go? He said he would never leave me. Do you ever stop to think what forsake means? Because it's a word we use all the time. God said he won't leave, he won't forsake. I never looked it up until this afternoon. Listen to this. Abandon or desert. God said, I will never abandon you. Never. If he left me, guess what he's done? He abandoned me. If he left me, he deserted me. God is going to just stay right here. I'm just going over to the store to get something. I'll be right back. No, he's going to stay with me because he said he would never leave me. Leave behind or leave trying to survive. He's never going to do that. He's never going to leave me to me. He's not. I looked up the root word. I started doing that lately, looking up the root word, because it gives even more insight. The root word for the words forsake, and there were several meanings of it, but I just, you know, we always use the ones that the Holy Ghost highlights. Listen to this. To leave behind. God says, I will never leave you behind. Never. I will never leave you to yourself by ceasing to care for you. Root word. Leave to oneself a person or a thing by ceasing to care for it. He said, I'll never do that. I'll never disregard you. Never. I'll never sail past you without stopping. Never. I mean, he's never too busy to take care of you. Never. No matter what's going on. He said, I will not sail past without stopping. Never hold us in disregard. Go turn to John 17. Why are you turning there? I want to share this. Because I was looking up words, and you know I like dictionary.com, and I like the word of the day. And often, it's in line with what I'm studying, and it was the same thing today. The word for today was ADREM, adrem. It means without digressing. It means in a straightforward manner. It means relevant and pertinent. God is a dream concerning us. He'll never digress. He's always straightforward. He always sees us as being relevant and pertinent. He always does. And he will never, ever digress, no matter what. And we have to understand John 17. Are you there? Let me get there. Because this Holy Ghost dropped in during praise and worship. Verse 20. When Jesus is praying, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be what? One, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you have sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, if we're in him, we're in Christ, Christ is in God, wherever we go, it's not just those two that are with us. We've received the Holy Ghost. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. So everywhere we go, we're in the company of the Godhead. Everywhere. how can we be alone when we're in the presence of the Godhead? We're in Christ. Christ is in God. The Holy Ghost is in us. That's the Godhead. And you actually think someone can come against that? Or something can come against that? Or something can penetrate that? No, it cannot. Unless we just open up and invite it in. We have to make a conscious choice to take in worry and let worry have its perfect work in us. It cannot do it on its own because we're not standing out there alone. We have the Godhead. Look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings 6. These are all, you know, familiar accounts with most of us. You know, this is when the king of Syria was acting up. And Elisha was there. And the servant that was with him, they were afraid. You know, and beginning of verse, I guess we'll start verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God, that was Elisha's servant, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? He was saying, what are we going to do? The enemy is all around us. What are we going to do? And he answered, being Elisha, he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And I'm sure the servant's head went tilt because he's looking on every hillside. He sees horses and chariots and soldiers. And he looks at his side and he sees Elisha. And he's saying, 1, 2. I mean, that's just... And, you know, his heart was like the Grinch. It got three sizes too small. And you start worrying. What am I going to do? We're out here all alone. And Elisha's saying, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray you, open his eyes that he may see. And he was talking about his spiritual eyes. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. For me, the next verse would have said, and he immediately ran and stood right next to Elisha. Because Elisha knew who he was, knew who his God was, and knew that he wasn't alone. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Because we have to see it with spiritual eyes. We have to feel it with a spiritual heart. We have to hear it with spiritual ears. We have to stop looking at things in the natural and calling things that be as though they are. We have that thing backwards. We have to understand, as Elisha did, they're always more with us than with anything that's facing you. Always. You say, well, why do people succumb to things? Because they don't understand it. That's why. And we have to get to the point where we completely understand just who we are and just who's backing us up. Let's look at Isaiah 41. Beginning with verse 10, where God said, fear you not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. That's what God said. He said, fear not and don't be worried. I'm with you. He said, but Lord, you don't understand what I'm going. Yes, I do. I'm with you. You don't understand that. I am with you. You don't have to fear. Nothing is overtaking me. I am the undisputed all-weight champion. Always was and always will be. You know, we use a lot of boxing analogies. And I was sitting in my office, and I was just thinking about that, you know, that scripture and one in Hebrews. And just kept reading them in different translations. And I got this analogy. Usually, you know, in a prize fight, there's an announcer, and he introduces the combatants. You know, say in this corner, and it, you know, he says something about the individual. Well, you know, picture, you know, yourself, you're in a ring, and you hear what the announcer is saying, but it doesn't quite make sense to you, because what you hear, he's pointing to all four corners, and he's saying the same thing. And he never calls your name. Never. Turns to the north corner. He says, in this corner, El Shaddai, undefeated, yesterday, today, and forever. Also known as the God who's more than enough. Points to the south corner. In this corner, El Shaddai, never been defeated. Known as the God that's more than enough. Points to the east corner. In this corner, El Shaddai says the same thing when he gets to the west corner. Never mentions your name. You know why? The battle's not yours. So get out of the ring. All right? And you also notice something else. He never mentions an opponent. Never. You know why? You know why? Think about it for a minute. Why do you think? Because since God is for you, who can be against you? That's why. Because the name of Jesus is above. So what difference does it make what it's called? So he said, I don't even have to say what you're going against because it doesn't matter. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And it doesn't matter what that thing is, how it comes disguised. It's going against what God said concerning you. God's got to take it out. Not you. So why are you worrying about it? David wasn't worried about Goliath. Matter of fact, I don't think he ever called him Goliath. He just called him this uncircumcised Philistine. That's all. And he said, God will deliver you into my hands. That's what because he knew who was fighting. And God did. David never ran away, never trembled in his boots. Didn't do. Yet the entire nation of Israel was afraid of Goliath. Including their high priests. Were afraid. Bible doesn't say one high. They didn't even come out and pray for him. They were so afraid. You didn't think about that. Just like with the three Hebrew boys, the same thing. The entire nation afraid. Why? Don't understand. They weren't alone. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar got it. We looked in the furnace and he said, "They're more than three in there." But they had to act on what they believed. Had to have no fear of being taken out. Matter of fact, they said, even if God doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down. David was like, this puts a disgrace on. No. He got to go. But he knew he wasn't alone. He knew the Lord of hosts was with him. Well, the Lord of hosts is with us also. But we have to do the same thing that they did. Believe it, and then act like we believe it. And stop worrying and being fearful just because of things that we may not understand. Look at Colossians 3, please. I heard myself say this several weeks ago, and it just came back to me today. Colossians 3, verse 3. Well, I'll start with verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now let's think about that for a moment. Our life is hid in Christ with God. So, if I'm hiding, all right, if I come down here and I hide, can you see me? Why? So how can the enemy find me to do anything to me if I'm hidden? I gotta do this. Run that. Okay. Okay. I do things that exposes me, because the things that I'm doing, if God has me securely hidden in Him, as I stay obedient to Him, guess what? I remain hidden. But the minute I step out there on my own, now I'm exposed. Now I'm exposed, because now I've stepped out there and put my life in my hands, in my unsteady, unstable, uncertain hands. And I have to start worrying, because now I have to take care of me, because I refuse to have my life hidden in Christ. I have to make a choice to repent and to get back in Christ. So I'm hidden, and I can get back to living a life of no worries. But if I'm going to be out there on my own, I'm going to have some things I have to deal with. And I wasn't equipped to deal with them. See, I thought it was interesting that when you read the account in Genesis of Adam and Eve, and the Bible says somewhere around the end of verse 2 that they were naked, and they were not ashamed. But the minute they got out there on their own and they sinned, then they saw they were naked and they were ashamed. Same nakedness, okay. But because now they're no longer hidden. Now they're exposed. And they realized this wasn't right. So they tried to hide themselves. They were already hidden by the glory of God. But because they made a choice to go out there on their own and go after what they wanted and not adhere to what God said, they found themselves in a position where now they had to try and hide themselves. And hide from, of all people, hide from God. But that's how we get, folks. We will run and we try and hide from God because we know what we did. I mean, how many of you as a child, you did something wrong, you heard your parents come home, you ran in your room and hid? Okay, you're figuring, like, they're not going to know where you are, right? And the thing about it is, even with that, we're so obedient, they call us and we'd immediately come out. Well, what's the purpose of running and hiding for? Okay, but we're in that moment, we just don't know what to do. I believe Adam and Eve, they were worried. Now, they're like, what's God going to say? I'm naked. You know, I didn't know what to do. So they had to try and hide themselves. That's what we worry. We don't know what to do. And we don't have to. All we have to do is understand that Father said he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We're already hid in Christ, in God. So we're already with him. He has us in the palm of his hand. And he said, I will not relax my hold on you. So that means nothing. When he has his grip, nothing can make him loosen his grip on us. Nothing. So what are we worried about? What are we fearing? Why do we think we have to go in with a physical army that we can see? Or at least my best friend. You know, and I'm not against, and I'm not trying to say, no, you don't need a prayer partner. But what if they're not available? Are you going to go to pieces? You call them, oh, I can't get to my prayer partner. Okay. What about praying in the Holy Ghost? What about that as a prayer partner? Because that, you'll pray to exactly what needs to be prayed will come out. But we'll get so wrapped up into, I have to have somebody else, that we start worrying because we think we're by ourselves. Do you know, as Pastor Clinton used to say, a Bible-believing person is a bad motor scooter. All they have to do is believe it. Look, let's go back to Romans 8. I'm going to share this in the Message Bible. And I'm going to unhook in a minute. I'm not going to keep you too much longer. You say, it doesn't matter who my opponent is. Romans 8, give me verse 31, but I'm going to share it out of the Message Bible. Because again, it just the Holy Ghost likes the way it says it, I guess, because he told me to use that translation. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Insert this. And how are they going to know that we're one of God's chosen? By what they see us doing. The first thing they have to see us doing is showing love amongst ourselves. And then the second thing they have to see us doing are the good works that God has told us to do. That who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble. Not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backslide. Let's go back to bullying threats. Okay. It seems that folks are trying to make bullying an art form. But we need to make sure that we're equipped and we're sending our children out equipped with the knowledge of who they are in Christ. Knowing how to skillfully use the Word of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost on their way. Confessing. Just like we get in the car and we pray before we start driving. We just do the same thing with our children as they're going out. If they're walking to school, it's no different than driving. Their automobile is their legs. And as they're walking, no evil shall befall me. No plague shall come near my dwelling place. Lord, you've given ministering angels charge over me, and they keep me, so I won't be dashed anywhere. Thank you, Lord, because you keep me in safety wherever I go. Lord, you protect my going out and coming in henceforth and forevermore. The bullies, they're coming along. Matt, you want me to carry your books for you? You know, is everything okay? You know, and you'll have, and they'll walk through and nothing will happen to them. Okay, why not? They're acting like they did and their life is hidden in Christ. But if we don't train that, then they're not going to do that and they'll have to deal with everything that everybody else deals with. And guess what we do about it? Worry. Worry. Have you heard what they said? What's going on? I don't know. Maybe I need to homeschool. Well, nothing against homeschooling, but to homeschool because you're afraid means you're not in faith. And the Bible says that which is without faith is sin. If God tells you homeschool, you better homeschool. But if you tell you homeschool because you're afraid of what your child might be exposed to, you're operating in fear. And you're worrying. And we're not trusting God. I'm looking for it. No bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I am absolutely convinced. Are you absolutely convinced? Right. That nothing living or dead. Why we walk by a cemetery, we worry that someone's going to come up out of the grave, okay, and grab us. I mean, if that's where you are, the word says nothing living or dead. Okay. So you can say nothing dead or undead. Okay. Angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. See, we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But we don't have to walk through afraid because we're not alone. We're not alone. Our Father is with us. He has said very emphatically, as a matter of fact, He said, I will not in any way leave you. I will not in any way give you up. I won't leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless. In any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Nor let you down. And you say, well, I've been let down by God. No, you haven't. You've been let down by your expectations as to when God should do what you want Him to do. That's what lets you down. Your God has said, I shall supply. What He didn't say was when. So why are you getting upset with the when? Well, see, we put words in God's mouth and try and hold them to it. That's what we do. He said, I shall supply. Done. Maybe we need to stop counting the days from the time we said the prayer to the time we got it. No, I'm serious. I'm not trying to be funny. Because if that's a stumbling block for you, why do it? Because after a while, you'll look at it, especially if you're X-ing things off on a calendar. You have more, you wallpapered your whole wall. When you start looking at it, and now you start to worry. Maybe this is never going to happen. Maybe I miss God. Maybe that's not what He meant. Well, what did He say? He meant what He said. Simple. Don't worry about anything. You're not alone. Don't be afraid of anything. You're not alone. You have the Godhead with you at all times. We do. We're in Christ. Christ is in God. Holy Ghost is in us. That's the three in one, folks. The Holy Ghost, Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost comes, He's going to guide us into all truth. He's going to show us things to come. He's going to keep reminding us, keep testifying about Jesus. Why? To keep us encouraged. So we can say, yeah, that's right. That's right. So we can keep going on. We need to understand what we have been given. Power. Over all the power that the enemy possesses. So we have to stop being afraid, stop feeling alone, and stop worrying. Questions or comments?